Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hour number two here on a Thursday. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and Marquise. Coming up at 7:30 this morning, Preds Associate Coach Kevin McCarthy will join us. An hour from now, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. But let's get to the NBA and a big story for the last couple of days. Our first chance to really get to it because we've had so much stuff going on here locally. The NBA and China. And the backlash, because the NBA is the most progressive league. I mean, they are out there leading the charge in many regards, leaps and bounds ahead of other sports. But yet, here we are with the situation with China, and now all of a sudden, the NBA is under fire. Your guys, your thoughts on this whole dramatic story?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is this is extraordinarily complex. Like, what's happening in China is complex. The business relationship between the NBA and China is complex. The relationship between coaches and a professional organization is complex. Like, the whole thing is really, really complex. So Twitter's not exactly the best place to go yell about this kind of stuff. And of course, you know, certain individuals in social media just yell about stuff and try to distract from other things. My first thought is an owner said something that he believed in. The owner of the Rockets basically said something, you know, I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing what the exact tweet was, right?
It was Daryl Morey.
It was Fight for Freedom, Stand with Hong Kong. And he put a meme, he had some type of hashtag or something a gif he put attached to it.
So I don't know about you guys, but the Cliff's Notes version, and again, I'm somebody who actually pays attention to this stuff, and I still can't explain it fully. Hong Kong is one of the few places in China that has more democratic rights than everywhere else in the country, and they are protesting because they don't want their citizens to be extradited to the mainland, where then they probably are silenced by an oppressive authoritarian government. Does that sound about right?
Yep.
So Hong Kong is sort of they've had all these protests, you know, all this stuff that's going on. So there is a lot of human rights elements to this. The NBA talks a huge game locally. In the United States about human rights, and good for them. They should. We all applaud them for being that progressive thing. But when there's $1.5 billion on the line, they're silencing their GMs and their owners to not say anything because China is writing them a huge check. And so I do think there's some hypocrisy there with the NBA, and they know they can do it because American citizens aren't paying a lot of attention to what's going on in Hong Kong. I almost guarantee that 90% of Americans cannot explain what is happening in China, that there's this giant Uyghur population that's being militarized in this other section of China, which has nothing to do with even the Hong Kong protests. And I can't fully explain it all, and I read about it. So I'm willing to bet you most Americans don't know a lot about this, which is why the NBA probably feels like it can get away with just sort of quieting this down and pushing it to the side, while also then simultaneously talking a huge game locally about how we should take care of human rights. So there is plenty of hypocrisy on the NBA's part on this.
And the NBA is in China right now, currently on NBA TV. The Lakers are playing with the Brooklyn Nets live, and we know the NBA and China, big business partners, dating back to when Yao Ming was taken by the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets essentially became the team for China.
Yeah, and they've since now have severed all ties with the Houston Rockets. Businesses over in China have severed ties with them and have severed ties with the NBA. The Chinese market makes up over roughly 10% of the league's current revenue, and they said by 2030 it'd be up to 20%. That's a huge revenue share.
The TV contract is $1.5 billion.
So they bring in a lot of money. But here's the problem that, you know, that when you choose to step out, then you can't then kind of say, well, I want to step out on this, but I don't want to step out on this because it involves money. I want to step out on this, but nah, maybe not that. When you make that conscious stand to say, you know what, I am going to stand for equality, I am going to stand for human rights, yada, 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 whatever, then that has to be your stance across the board. You know, this is the same league that chose not to have an NBA All-Star game in Carolina because of the gender-neutral bathrooms. They said, nope, we're pulling out until you change your laws. We're pulling out our All-Star game. We don't care about the money. We're going to pull it out.
Anti-discriminatory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Discriminatory laws by North Carolina.
Absolutely. So they chose to remove the All-Star game from that city. And we're talking about a U.S. city. And then they have, you know, stood up for other, you know, whether it was Donald Sterling, whether it was the whole Kaepernick thing. Individuals have chosen to stand up. The NBA has been progressive, and that's great. And I applaud the NBA for that. But I was watching CNN the other day, and one of the commentators that kind of goes back and forth, he does a lot of their sports and social justice issues. He combined the two and they bring him on a lot. He said, listen, everybody wants to be Ali until it costs you something. LeBron wants to be Ali until it costs him something. Yeah. James Harden wants to be Ali until it costs you something.
Now he's playing a game in China right now.
Yes. Kaepernick, it cost him his career. Now all these guys that claim to be social justice warriors have an opportunity to either say, you know what, we're going to stand for human rights because injustice here is an injustice everywhere. Injustice over in China is an injustice everywhere. And they feel like, listen, if here's an opportunity for you to stand, it's going to cost you a lot, but are you truly going to stand?
Well,
we see a bunch of guys just kind of, and I get it.
And how about this hypocrisy to the point where, you know, ESPN, the network, is not allowing their NBA, and they have a ton of NBA writers and insiders, the Adrian Wojnarowskis. I mean, they invest a lot of money in reporting on the NBA, and they have curtailed their reporters from commenting on this.
Well, because it's about money.
Yep.
And now moving forward, you can't say, they can't say anything. People are going to laugh at the NBA now.
China has said to them, shut up and dribble.
Yeah, basically that's what they are.
And the NBA is going,
okay.
Okay.
Well, that's and it all goes back to,
because everything China's done is worse than, whether you love or hate Trump, you can love or hate Trump, and everybody does, right? Everybody's got an opinion. But even though we're pushing the limits of our democracy currently, it's still far better than what's going on in China.
It's you're looking at a situation where, you know, it's being ran as a dictatorship. And these people want certain things to be in place.
For freedom.
Yeah, for freedom.
Essentially,
yes,
civil freedom.
Exactly.
Liberties.
And the NBA is saying, well, since they are 10% of our revenue, billions of dollars, then, you know what, we're not going to say anything. You know, we're going to continue to go over there and play. So what you're basically saying is you're condoning what they're doing. You can mum everybody if you want to. You can tell it, don't say nothing, but you are condoning what they're doing because you know why? You're still playing a game in China.
Yeah.
And you're still doing all those other things. And they said, we're not going to, they basically walked away from you. It's like the girlfriend or the boyfriend. The girlfriend or the boyfriend leaving, and you're steady begging.
And
you're steady at her front door or his front door, and he's gone.
And I need more, and this is what, to your point about the gentleman, and I don't know who you're talking about, that had the point about, you know, everybody's a social justice warrior until it costs you something, right? And and Ali, it cost him potentially massive amounts of earnings potential right in the peak of his career. Kaepernick, it probably cost him his career. You know, like,
no, it did cost
like
him his career.
What I'm tired of is people, you know, like thinking that a tweet is enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whether it's a politician or an NBA player or a league or an owner or whatever, like I'm just tired of people thinking that a tweet is like doing something. It's not doing anything. Like if you disagree with something and you send a tweet, okay, well go do something about it, right? Like if you're the NBA and you really believe in something,
you just remove your games out of there.
Don't send a tweet. Go do something about it. It's no different than all these politicians who think they can just tweet something and then go vote along whatever line that their tweeting against, right? You can't just send a tweet and think that that's actually doing something. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's better than nothing, but it is the bare minimum that you can do is by, you know, send a tweet, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers.
But
again,
the NBA,
thoughts and prayers.
NFL
like the least
be,
you can do is send a tweet.
The
you can
NFL
do more.
Would be crucified right now. They would be, I mean, they would put them on a cross and walk them up and down the street.
Well, the NBA's getting roasted
not,
pretty hard.
Not as bad as the NFL would be. Right
but the
now.
NBA has also built up more equity in that regard, right? Like the NBA has been at the forefront of a lot of movements.
But it makes it worse. It makes them look really bad too, because just months ago, you know, over a year ago, you removed your game from a U.S. city.
Well, and the whole owner governor thing.
Yeah, it's just
like that's dumb as rocks too.
You've done things which was the right thing to do. I mean, you did what you thought was right, and it was, and everybody's still behind you. But when you do that, and then all of a sudden you go mums on this, like nope, like across the board,
it's just
nobody said anything.
It's so transparent. I mean, that's the problem. Is it's just so transparent? It's like, oh, you're protecting your business interests. Like it's just so obvious what the NBA is doing. Now, there's a whole other half of this equation. One conversation is what's happening with China. The other conversation is what's happening domestically with communications between politicians and coaches and everything else. That's a whole different equation. Because the president of the United States is being equally as big a hypocrite on this as the NBA is. But I want to make sure we're being critical of both sides here.
615-737-1025. If you want to jump in on this conversation, 737-1025. We're back after this on Morning Drive on ESPN 1025 a game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 the game. Good to have you in here live on a Thursday as we are discussing the NBA and the whole issue with China and the hypocrisy of, you know, being one of these real progressive leagues, always at the forefront of social justice and social equality, yet when your bottom line could be affected by 10 to 15%, all of a sudden you go dark and you go quiet. That's opens you up to a whole nother level of hypocrisy, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair criticism of the NBA. I mean, listen, my message almost to everybody all the time is don't take the bait, don't be a sheep. And don't be a sheep by listening to what the NBA is saying right now. The NBA is a hypocritical move that protects their bottom line.
They're not saying anything. That's the point.
Right. Like, so don't be a sheep. Look at the situation for what it is. But you also cannot be a sheep when the president of the United States comes out and starts criticizing NBA coaches while actually in the same week asking China to interfere in our election, which is a crime. So you can't.
What do we think?
You got to be critical of both sides here.
What do we think of Steve Kerr? Because Steve Kerr, the head coach for the Golden State Warriors, is very outspoken on social media and in front of a microphone when it comes to politics, yet goes quiet on this. Is it just because he's an employee of the league?
I think you can criticize the NBA as a whole. You can look at the NBA entity and Adam Silver, and you can say, why are you not willing to stand up for this? You're willing to stand up for it in the state of North Carolina when you believe in it. You're willing to stand up for other things. You're actually really, really good on this issue. Why are you not willing to stand up and protect human rights? And I think it's because it's foreign. It's foreign policy. It's a different country. It's not a domestic policy. And so Steve Kerr has more of a right, I think, individuals at least, have more of a right to have more space to comment on their own country's politics. We all have a right to have our own opinion on, and frankly, we need to remember that it's okay that we can disagree on politics in this country. Not everybody fully understands what's going on overseas. Not everybody really has an opinion on foreign policy. Not everybody really cares about the war in Yemen or, you know, what's going on in whatever country that has some, like, you know, I just think it's different when you ask an individual about some other, like, I don't know. You have to be extremely well-versed on, I find more gray area for the individual.
Well,
the league as a whole, I will be very critical of the league as a whole for being a hypocrite in this situation. I find it less, I can't be as critical of the individuals because the individuals, whatever side of it you're on, you have to be really educated and you have to really.
Because what's happening now is if you are a Republican, you say, well, Steve Kerr, you're always critical of Trump. Now you don't have anything to say about what's going on with the NBA, your league in China.
It's also your boss that writes your check.
That's my point.
Whatever side you're on, they're going to pull that card. You know, you criticize the president, but you're not going to say anything about what's going on in China. Well, you can say that about the president, too, because he's done some things in the last so many months and even days that you can say, oh, man, he's just hypocritical too. So, but just sticking with the NBA, I think Steve Kerr said the right things. Listen, I'm not well-versed in it. I need to read more on it. That's his ignorance, you know, he goes back to that, the default, my ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad thing. That means he just doesn't know. He hasn't taken the time out to educate himself on what's truly going on. And he's going to keep it that way. He's going to purposely keep it that way so he doesn't have to answer the question, because he can always say, man, the season's is going on. I don't have time to really read about what's going on, you know, in China with the people over there and the injustices that are being done to them. I don't have time to read about it. Hence, right. I am not going to comment on it. But Steve Kerr.
There also seems to be a gag order, yeah, though. Like, if an owner can't tweet anything, then why would a coach be allowed
to
say
anything? But Steve Kerr, you know something's wrong over there.
Sure.
You know it. Just like everybody else that follows news, they know what's going on. Somewhat to a point where you can't comment intelligently on, hey, listen,
what's going on, I think the
laws are wrong. These people are, you know, whether, you know, the extradition laws are completely wrong, and things need to be better. He can say it in such a way where, you know, he's for just justice, period, regardless if it's in China or over here in the U.S. He's all about justice. And right now he's taking that sort of, I don't know, I hadn't read up on it, so I don't really want
to
comment on it.
Yeah, that's an excuse.
Yeah, that's just an excuse.
To me, that's an excuse.
Just, come on, Steve Kerr, really?
But I don't think Steve Kerr is allowed. To me, this is a top-down edict. This is an Adam Silver.
Oh, yeah, they are. I think they put the kibosh on it all.
Yeah, this is an NBA top-down edict saying, oh, y'all better shut your mouth on this because we're going to make too much money from China. And so, to me, it's not about Steve Kerr. It's not about, you know, even the owner of the Rockets. This is about the NBA as a whole not stepping up when it should. Now, on the politics thing and the political angle on this and you know, politicians, I don't like it. Like, I think sports does really, really well when it gets into social issues. I think it does really well, whether it's race, whether it's, you know, gender, whether it's sexuality, religion, whatever. I think sports pulls culture into the future in general over the course of the last 100 years in this country. That's sort of how it's been. What I don't like, I like it when sports gets involved in social issues. What I do not like is when politicians get involved in sports. It almost never goes well. If you're going to investigate Rafael Palmeiro, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars. I don't care. Like, if you're investigating, like, If you're investigating NBA policy as a White House, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars. I don't like it. The NCAA, all these legislations that are getting passed in California and Florida and Minnesota and North Carolina about how name, image, and likeness. Like, I don't like that. I don't like when legislation and when politicians get involved in sports. I don't think it ever ends really well. I think sports can do it, but I don't think politicians can do it. So I just don't see, you know, clearly the president is distracting from all the other stuff that's going on in the country right now. And, you know, again, last week he asked China to interfere in our election, which, again, is a crime. And now he's saying, Steve Kerr, why aren't you being more critical of China? Like, it's just all of these guys are, they're all hypocrites. The NBA is a hypocrite. The president's being a hypocrite. It's just people need to read
hypocrites
up.
Are out of board.
Yeah, man. It's just it is what. But again, my message to people on both sides of this is, don't be a sheep. Go read up on what's going on in China. Form your own decision. Be educated on it. Then you can be critical of Steve Kerr and the NBA. You can also be critical of the president. It's smart and okay to be critical of both of those things. So I just don't be a sheep on this. Educate yourself and understand what's going on.
737-1025, the number if you want to jump in. Jimmy in Nashville is next up on Morning Drive. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, first of all, you talk about getting educated. Well, if you did some education on your own, you would realize that China gave Joe Biden $1.5 billion.
This is not about we're not talking about that. This is about sports.
This is about sports.
Wanting to investigate.
Okay, if you want to talk politics, then call a station that's talking politics. We're talking sports. We're tying sports into politics, okay? Or politics into sports. We are talking about the NBA. Damn it.
Right.
Don't call it. I don't want to hear it.
It's also illegal.
Exactly. It's illegal.
It's illegal now, but we're not going to sit here and debate to interfere that. In our election.
We just made comments on being hypocrite. The NBA being a hypocrite. And then at times our president being and politicians in general.
Right. We are criticizing both sides.
We're just saying all of them. Yes.
Right. We're criticizing
This is not about Biden and all that other stuff. Man,
I think so much less of the NBA, frankly. Like the reason,
yeah, exactly.
The reason Muhammad Ali is Muhammad Ali is that he gave up a small fortune in the prime of his career to stand up for what he believed in. You can disagree with what he believed in. In fact, he wasn't very popular when he did it, right? Martin mm-hmm. Luther King's approval ratings were not high in this country when he was doing what he was doing. It's why he got shot. So let's be honest about like what it cost somebody. It cost Colin Kaepernick his career. You can disagree with his protest. That's fine. He's legally allowed to protest the United States. It's right there in the Bill of Rights. He can do it. It's been given to us as citizens of this country. You can disagree with that, and that's okay. But it cost him a lot of money. So what I don't like is the NBA has a platform here to stand up for something that it says it believes in locally mm-hmm. here in the United States, and it's shutting its mouth and dribbling when it comes to something else, because you know what? Most NBA fans under the age of 30 probably don't know a whole lot about what's going on in China. Mm-hmm. Most humans in this country probably don't know a whole lot about what's going on in China. And in the meantime, to be critical of them while also asking China to interfere in our election is also hypocritical. So you just have to call a spade on both sides of it and be fair to both sides of it.
615-737-1025 if you want to jump in. We will come back, and Kevin McCarthy, Preds Associate Coach, will join us for another installment of Coffee with the Coach. We'll see what he makes of his squad so far through three games.
What does he think about China, you think, though?
What's that?
Like, let's ask him what he thinks about China. What does he think?
Let's not.
Coach, power play looks good. Also, what about Hong Kong's protests? How do you feel about that?
Back.
Hey, you know what? You know who's not being hypocrites? It's the people over at Cool Springs MD. And, you know, when I talk about Cool Springs MD, there's nothing hypocritical about them, because what they do it better than just anybody, do it better than anybody in the world, Craig, in the world. And, you know where it starts at? It starts with Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne. And then it kind of filters through that experienced staff, because you know what they do? They give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. And men, yes, we need a better quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, because that's where I live, and the surrounding areas areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. Men, what are you waiting on? Okay? Pick up that phone. Put this number inside your phone so you will never, ever forget it. All right? Here it is. 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. When you make this call and make that appointment or go on the website, you know who's going to love you? A few people. The kids are going to love you because now you can go outside and play with them because you got that energy. And then the wife will love you because you know, when you are happy and energetic, mom is happy and energetic as well. So go on the website, call the number. Here's the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Predators and the Capitals tonight, Bridgestone Arena, the fourth and final game of the four-game homestand to start the season. It's time for another installment of Coffee with the Coach. Last week, head coach Peter LaViolette. This week, Preds Associate Coach Kevin McCarthy. Coach, happy Thursday. How are you doing this morning?
Very good, thank you.
Good to have you in. So let's start with, first of all, right out of the gate, the new addition, Matt Duchene. I mean, coming out first three games, six assists. He's tied for the league lead in the NHL through three games. What have you seen from your vantage point as to why he's been so successful so early?
Well, I think Matt's one of his biggest assets. This is his skating ability and his creativity. And that's definitely been shown here over the course of the last three games and in the exhibition games, and he's as advertised. He's exactly what we knew he was going to be, and he's really. I think that line, especially with Phil and Granny, there is really been a real potent offensive attack for us.
Obviously, a big part of removing a piece like PK Subban is your trust in a young player like Dante Fabbro, who's now playing top 4 minutes for you on the top four. Very young player, very poised, but still has only played like 9 NHL regular season games, something crazy. What have you seen from him through 3 games, and just what makes him so good at such a young age?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is he's a very cerebral player. Like he understands the game. He sees things before they happen. He's got a good, really hockey sense, and he has the ability to get himself out of trouble with his skating and his puck decisions. And obviously playing with Ekki here is really helping too. Ekki always makes whoever he plays with a better player. So the two of them have got some chemistry going here. And Fabs also is the type of kid that he just wants to get better. Like he's always looking for ways to get better and improve. And he's got some great role models in that defense corps that we have here.
Now, Coach, we had a discussion yesterday, and I brought up after the game, after watching the game, the first few games, and it just seems like for some reason, and I know it can't be because it's early and everything else and everyone's energy is up high, but it just seems like the puck is just flowing smoothly. It seems like everything is going just so seamless, and the puck is moving, and we're getting shots on goals, and everything seems to be working on all cylinders. Do you kind of, and does the team kind of feel that's where you're at right now, or is there still a lot to work on?
Well, I think from a positive standpoint, I think where you look at our structure of our 4 lines, we've got a real good balance on every line. You look at Joey's line and mm-hmm. Dutch's line, and then Turi's line has been playing really well offensively, and we got your shutdown line of Bonino, Watson, and Sisson. So, as a group of 12 forwards, it really gives us some really good balance. And I think the one thing that Lavi's preached ever since he arrived has been that up tempo North game, and I think the guys have really done a good job this year, and our defensemen have done a good job of getting the pucks to the forwards, and that transition game has really been effective for us. So that on the other side of the puck, I think it's still we can still improve a lot. There's some areas that we need to do better. We've given up way too many outnumbered rushes that we've talked about, and there's little details like that in our game that I think that we have to clean up and to become a great team.
Kevin McCarthy joining us here on Morning Drive. So, Coach, if you could, take us through the change with the power play. Typically we've seen 3 forwards and 2 defensemen. Now this year with Dan Lambert, we're seeing 4 forwards, 1 defenseman. Take us behind the scenes. Give us a little insight for the fan. What is the difference? What are the pros and cons of those 2 adjustments?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on your, obviously the skill level of your players up front, and, the shots come into play also, like a left-hand shot, right-hand shot. It's really important to have those options, especially with your forwards. And with the addition of Duchesne there as a left-hand shot, it's really, really helped that, especially the unit that with Joey and Philip and Arv and Yost. It really gives them a dynamic that we didn't have before up front. So, that group especially is taking advantage of that. And then obviously the other unit, you got Granlund. He got a guy that, kind of came in halfway through the year last year at the deadline, and never really got a chance to show his true playing ability. So he's fit in really well for us, and he's a really good power play guy. So I think the addition of Duchesne and Granlund have made a big difference.
Obviously, you guys in the Caps have had some really nice battles over the years. What is it about this team? What are the challenges that you'll face tonight? And obviously, the last game of a four-game homestand before you go on the road, sort of how important is it to play well before you take off on a road trip?
Well, definitely. I think, we're like you said, we kind of looked at our schedule at the start of the year. We knew they had these four home games, and our goal was to go 4-0. And, obviously that's not going to happen, but obviously, we go 3-1 and that's a pretty good start. So, we're playing a team in Washington that, lost an overtime game at home the previous game. So, that they're going to be ready to play. And, they're a very well-balanced team also. I mean, their top 2 lines are probably as good as any 2 top 2 lines in the league. So we're going to have our cut out for us there without the puck. We've got to make sure we pay attention to detail defensively in order to have success against those guys tonight.
Coach, I know you guys are in the bottom line business of getting wins, but from a fan base perspective, people love the idea of Duchesne and Forsberg on that second line and how it could be just one of the more dynamic 1-2 punches in the league. Could you envision, and I know you guys don't worry about stats, you're just looking at points and wins, but could you envision a scenario where either Forsberg or Duchesne are a point-per-game player because they feed off of each other so well on that second line?
Well, I think, you know, it really gives us two lines that basically, like, you know, we talk about all the time about 1A and 1B, and I know just from a defensive standpoint, when you're playing against a team like, you know, like take, for instance, Washington tonight, like, their top two lines, you know, you know, it's not just worrying about shutting down one line. Now you've got to shut down two lines. So that's how people are approaching our game right now. And so all of a sudden now, you know, Phil, instead of playing maybe against the other team's top two defensemen, he's playing against number three and four. So, or vice versa with RV. So, you know, it's nice having those, having two lines that can really help each other out from, you know, taking the pressure off each other as far as having to be that ED line. You know, they can just go out there and play their game and collectively as a group of six there that we can take advantage of it.
Coach, always a pleasure. We appreciate the visit. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, and best of luck tonight.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Preds Associate Coach Kevin McCarthy for our weekly installment of Coffee with the Coach. Now, we know when you're a coach, when you're a player, when you're a part of that franchise inside that room, you can throw around the nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
We bust Chase's stones over the nicknames, but I was tracking there.
Uh-huh.
We had an Ecky. We had a Turry, which we were wondering if we could put a Y on Turris.
Dan Hammy said that last night about
we had
it.
A Turry.
Called him Turry. So.
And we had a Fabs.
Fabs
is such a good name. I will say this. I talked to Jeremy K. Gover last night also about this, and I said, hey.
Did you call him Govey?
Well, I said, did you hear were we a little too hard on Chase McCabe? And he said, no. I would never use a nickname. Like, he knows when he does it, it happens accidentally, and then he gets all upset. But he goes, the only time I ever do it was with Pecorino. He'll be talking to another player, and he'll say, well, how do you think Pex played tonight? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, oh, God, I can't believe I did that. He gets so angry at himself.
Pex.
Now, I have noticed, and I'm trying to, like, now I'm noticing myself, I say Lavi all the time. I don't say Laviolette because it's just so long.
Yeah.
I
think everybody is granted special dispensation for Laviolette to call him Lavi.
Yeah, it's
that Laviolette should be universally accepted.
Exactly.
So why are we allowed to do that then? And then be critical of Chaser for saying like again, it's not we're not talking about in a professional interview setting. Like I would never say like, hey Mac, to Coach McCarthy. Like I'd never be like, hey Mac. I would never say that in an interview. But I would never say Lavi either to the coach during an interview. But when we're talking about the coach on the show, just the mm-hmm. three of us, mm-hmm. you know, just us girls here, I would say Lavi, and maybe I need to say Laviolette. Maybe unless you guys are giving me
no, you can say Lavi
if you're given special dispensation.
You can say Lavi.
All right.
Very rarely do I say Laviolette. Yeah. Very rarely.
It's just such a long word.
It is.
Be named something different, Coach. Come on.
I like the Turry though there by Coach McCarthy.
It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Turry doesn't.
Just call him Kyle.
Kyle. Yeah, that's short too, exactly.
I thought Ecky was good. He had a couple of apples.
But they're allowed to do
Kylie.
It. They're totally
Kylie,
allowed to do it.
Me either.
Players and coaches can do it. They can do it. It's you can't do it in an interview setting.
All right, celebrate the grand opening of the brand-new state-of-the-art Ford Ice Center facility in Bellevue this Saturday from 2 o'clock on. There'll be giveaways, free food, free public skate, and kids' activities, plus Nash and the Predators Energy team will be there. That's the grand opening celebration of the new Ford Ice Center in Bellevue this Saturday, 7638 B, Highway 70 South, this Saturday at 2 p.m. We're back after this here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Joe Rexroth, our buddy from The Athletic, will join us coming up in 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. 1 hour from now, another installment of Stick to Sports. But coming off of the Kevin McCarthy interview, and also last night was episode 2 of 23 of Smashville
Ooh,
Live.
Yes.
Any big takeaways from last night's episode?
Yeah, one of my favorite stories ever told on Smashville Live. So Dan Hamhuis has three daughters, Kyle Turris has three kids, Hal Gill has three kids, I have two, and I asked for advice on going from two to three. Not because we're working on it or because it's a thing that we're
working on it, buddy.
No, definitely not. I'm good with two. I like not having to, and Dan Hamhuis' big piece of advice, and Kyle Turris agreed with this, you get to a third kid, you got to buy a new car. And so Dan Hamhuis, true story, Dan Hamhuis surprised his wife with a brand new minivan and put the giant bow on top, you know, did the whole thing, drove it into the driveway. And however, as the wife is watching her cool, sporty little SUV disappear out of the driveway and the minivan shows up for her mm-hmm. birthday, Dan, thinking he was being very romantic and, you know, all this stuff, I'm not sure it went over all that well with the wife. I think Mrs. Hamus was quite upset to be driving a minivan as a birthday gift. And then he proceeded to tell us how great the vacuum is in the Honda Odyssey. So one of the funniest stories ever is that Dan Hamus trying to romantically purchase a minivan for his wife failed miserably and didn't go over well. So nothing really about hockey. Mostly just about when you have a third kid, you got to buy a minivan.
Is there anything more rough for a dad that, like, if you're an SUV, like, I'm an SUV guy. Like, I love Jeep Grand Cherokees. I've had three or four of them. It's like, you might sit there and say, oh, my dream car is a BMW, a Mercedes. Like, my dream car has always been a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Love them. But if I ever have to go from being an SUV guy, or for a guy that's a Ford F-150 guy, a big truck guy, if you ever have to go to the minivan, that's a real big kick to your manhood.
I would never, ever. I don't care if I had like 30 kids.
You guys are just insecure.
I'm not going to a minivan. No,
it
I'm
just
not going
feels
to
so
minivan.
Wrong yes. as a dude driving a minivan yes, with well, no, kids.
No, no, no. And they made these minivans so
dude, they're
great,
so tricked
right?
out, dude.
So great.
They got
where
every
but here's my question: What does the minivan offer from a space standpoint?
Oh man, it's
that
nice.
Some of the monstrous no. SUVs don't.
You're right.
Well. Significantly better gas mileage, better handling, and all-wheel drive. Like a lot of
minivans have better gas mileage.
Oh, 100%. They drive like cars.
SUVs have all-wheel drive too.
SUVs have 4x4 drive, which is not good on gas. SUVs. Listen, I drive a truck, so I can't say anything here. My wife drives a small SUV, so we can't say anything here. But a minivan is the only way they can still sell minivans is to put so much more stuff in the minivan than comes in any other car.
I just give me a van.
It's the only way you can sell minivans. Hammer talked about this last night.
Thought Hammy was good last night.
Hammer talked about this last night. He was trying to sell his wife on it, uh-huh. and he's like, "No, no, seriously, the vacuum in the back. Because how many SUVs have a vacuum? Zero. The minivans have vacuums. That's the thing. They have TV screens in every car. Like, there are more things in minivans than everything else, because otherwise, how would they sell them? So,
yeah, you got a point.
So he goes, the vacuum can reach every corner of the car and can run for 7 minutes while the car is turned off. And I'm like, so that was the romantic sales pitch to the wife?
Like, I am not getting a minivan, man.
And he laughs and he goes, hey, you just wait until you realize you can pick up every single goldfish with that vacuum. And I was like, that's a good point.
I would just get a big Suburban or something.
Yes, what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's going to cut.
An Envoy, an Escalade.
But you don't get any of the good things that come with a minivan, and it's worse gas mileage and all the other stuff.
I can
stuff,
get so a television put in there. I can
well,
get
you
the
can do whatever you
seats
want.
Reclined and everything else. I'm not going to the minivan, man.
I'm
not an advocate of the minivan.
I am
and I know a lot
either.
Of people
yeah,
are.
I'm not either. I'm just trying to like see their point of view.
Well, you remember back in the day before.
You don't get any of the stuff in an SUV that you get in a minivan.
Before minivans were a thing, you know, back in the day, it used to be the station wagon.
Yeah,
like back in the Brady Bunch era.
Dude, I got no problem.
We got a load of, we're going on vacation. Dude, got a load of the station wagon.
I love the Subaru Outback.
We had
give me one of those Outbacks.
My dad had a van. We loved that van, man. It was brown, two-tone. It had the televisions in there. It was just spacious.
Was this
you
like a conversion van? Like
it was just a regular, like the big
like
vans.
Like an Astro?
Yeah, Astro vans. It was, man, that thing was all right. Loved driving in that thing. I would get a van now.
But not a minivan.
Not a minivan, but a van.
Even though the minivan has like... Everything is done for you. Like every,
but vans have the same thing.
They don't have sliding doors that you don't have to touch. You can just talk to them.
I'm gonna get a Winnebago.
Now imagine me
driving one of those right through Murfreesboro.
I would buy.
We're going to the MTSU game, honey. Let's go. Load up.
I'd buy a used Winnebago to go on cross country trips for sure.
737-1025. Let's get Chad, who's got some thoughts on minivans. What's up, Chad?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing?
Doing good. Well.
I've got a very relatable story. My wife and I have been together for almost 20 years, but we Brady bunched it. So I had three, she had four. She had a Jeep Cherokee. I had a Suburban.
Was the youngest one in curls?
I'm sorry?
Was the youngest one in curls?
That's a really old reference.
Actually, yeah. They were from the ages 1 to 8. 1 to 8, we had 7. So.
Ooh.
And so we went from a nine. She got rid of her Cherokee, drove the Suburban until they started getting longer legs. We went to the 12-passenger van.
Mm.
So here's my sexy wife driving a 12-passenger van daily. And
do you drive the van? Do you drive the van?
But Chad, I drove the van too.
Oh, okay.
But Chad, you're in a different like tax bracket here on number of children. Like,
yeah,
like three is a lot of kids. Seven is different.
I think she cried when we sold the van. We had all these memories. We went to Florida. We packed that thing down and just we rolled, man. We went to soccer tournaments, ball tournaments, swim meets. We just a lot of memories.
There you go.
And that's her reward. She now drives a Lexus LX 570.
There you go.
She hauls no kids. Just
there you go.
There you go.
Just shopping bags.
She graduated from the what? Not was it a van minivan?
It sounded like one of those 12-person like church youth group vans.
Oh man,
you know what I'm talking about, like the big ones with the double
with
doors
nothing in it.
And you got to climb all the way to the back row, and there's no seat belts. You're like, wait a second,
no tinted windows.
These kids aren't safe in this. If I had
seven kids and I had to get a van, I would have to tint the windows. I would. I just tint the windows. I don't want everybody to see all seven of my kids.
Why?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
What happens when they get out of the van, Derek?
we put around in the back of Chuck E. Cheese.
So when you go to the skating rink, everybody's like rolling in the back door.
Exactly.
I don't want anyone to see my kids.
Oh, man.
Dad, I need more tokens.
Seven kids. Oh, my God. Jad, God bless you, dude. Like, seven just sounds... Three sounds insane to me.
Yeah.
Three sounds insane.
What if you had? No. What if you had
zone
three
defense?
Sets
I can't do
of
it.
Twins.
What's that?
What if you had three sets of twins?
I would off myself.
Have y'all seen the show? I think it's called. My wife watches it all the time. Uh-huh. I think it's called Outdaughtered. I think.
Mm-mm.
I think it's about a couple who had a daughter, and then had a what is it quintuplets? Five.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they had one daughter, and she's like I don't know, like 8 years old. And they have five, like, three-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like their third season on television where, like, this poor guy is running around in his house with seven women.
We got a tweet from Blake. He says, I went from a Suburban to an Odyssey, and I won't go back.
Oh.
It was my decision, and my wife now hates me for 3 years. Half the price for about the same space and easier to load the kids. I love it.
Yeah. There are so many more things you get with a minivan than you get with an SUV.
No, I'm not saying.
Except for you don't look as cool on the road.
I'm not saying you completely right on that. You are, and I would give it to all those that drive a minivan. But the cool factor in the minivan goes down tremendously. You pull up at the red light of the cool in the minivan.
That's why the wife drives a minivan and not me. If we had a third kid, I'd be like, hey, honey, you're getting the minivan.
You.
But she's the only one who kind of says, like, she looks at one of those especially the Odysseys or the Toyotas, like, they're so tricked out. And she kind of goes, you know what, I could see it. And I go, good for you.
Yeah.
You can drive it then.
I got no problem with that. I can see it on you, not me.
Honey, I got no problem with that. You're beautiful no matter what car you drive.
Would you drive
that's
it?
What I
if
said.
All were together, would you drive
well,
it? You make her drive
if
it.
If we're on road trips, you damn right I'm driving because I'm not stopping 14 times. I'm driving, which means y'all fall
asleep. We're on the same boat. We're in the same boat with
put
that.
Put Moana on back there and let me get us there at 78 miles an
one
hour.
One bathroom stop, one food stop. That's it. Right.
And when we stop for food, you're also going to the bathroom because we're not stopping again.
Any other takeaways from Smashville Live last night? Not minivan related?
You want hockey or non-hockey?
Whatever you got, dude.
Kyle Turris is a huge baseball fan. Huge Yankees fan, and I told him I don't like that about him.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay with it. But he had it, but he did he knew like Minnesota Twins losing record 15 straight games or whatever in the postseason. So Kyle Turris, huge baseball fan. Obviously grew up a big lacrosse guy. We all knew that about him. So they're all both of them I thought interesting. Both of them are very big believers in sort of young kids playing lots of sports, which I always find interesting to ask professional athletes who have children who do play sports, because Dan Hamius was talking about toting the kids all over the city to different, you know, swim meets and gymnastics and soccer practice and all this stuff. And, you know, I'll be doing that at some point in my life. And so I just asked, I said, do you guys believe in sort of diversifying the sports portfolio for children, so to speak, instead of specializing in one thing? And they're big believers. Most professional athletes will tell you that they're big believers in spreading it out. Do one thing for a little bit, do another thing for a little bit. Make sure you're playing an individual sport and a team sport. Mm-hmm. Hamuse was very big on making sure his kids were playing team sports because it teaches you things at a young age. So I thought that part was interesting. Again, I'm always more interested in the human side of these guys because, you know, we could talk power play, you know, with them and line combinations all they want, but they're not going to, you know, what are they going to say, right? What I like is hearing the human side of it. And most professional athletes are big on kids playing lots of sports. So if they're good with that, then I'm gonna go with that route.
Well, I'm glad you guys had the minivan discussion because now I'm getting texts from the wife about us getting a minivan. So I'd like to thank Nashville Live and Dan Hamuse and Braden Gall.
Yeah, but here's the question. Would Kristen take it as – would she think it's romantic and sweet and cute if you showed up with a minivan and a giant bow in the driveway and just took away
– But, you know, isn't that funny how things work? You know, I tell her I'm going to Golf Galaxy to pick up a dozen golf balls that'll cost $44. She looks at me like I have five heads. If I come home with a $37,000 van, I'm going to get a kiss?
Yeah, pretty much so, brother. The girls will love you.
It's ridiculous.
The girls will love you even more.
Nick, do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Which one?
Yeah, don't ask Nick that right now. Exactly. He might just say he want to be right. He might just say I want to be right.
I just want to kick off hour three with Joe Rexroad. We'll do that when we come back. Stay there.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.